I'd like to welcome everybody to Cook's Church this morning. For any guests we have, especially welcome to Cook's Church. Today we have a guest minister, Reverend Lynn Bergman. I'm going to introduce him in just a minute. A couple of announcements. There is a finance ministry meeting today at 11:15. A session meeting this evening at 7 o'clock. Men's breakfast is next Sunday morning. And there's a deacons meeting next Sunday at 11:15 and a mission ministry meeting at 11:15. And last but not least is Saturday, October 26th. It's the fall festival. I want to introduce Reverend Lynn Bergman today. He's our guest minister for the day, and we appreciate him coming out. Reverend Bergman was born in Connecticut, has lived in Scotland and Paris, France for a while. He graduated in 1956 as an electrical engineer and worked 3 years on flight simulators. He got to calling and got a master's in divinity. He was married in 1960, been married for 59 years. He was ordained in 1962. His first church was in Upper State, New York. Him and his wife moved to Charlotte to be around children and grandchildren. I think he has 4 children and 6 grandchildren.
Well, there's 2 that are living in Charlotte, 1 in Salisbury, and 1 near San Francisco.
San Francisco, wow, okay. So without further ado, let's get ready for worship.
Psalm 66, 1 through 6. Shout with joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name. Make his praise glorious.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praise to your name.
Come and see what God has done, how awesome his works in man's behalf.
He turned the sea into dry land. They pass through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him.
Glory of the skies.
The Lord is good to all. His compassion is over all. Let us therefore confess our sin before him. Our Father, enable us to see clearly what we have allowed ourselves to become. Then help us to see what, by your grace, we can someday become. In your name we pray. Amen. The waters of baptism are both a profession of faith and the symbol that God has forgiven us. Help us say clearly with our lives what our words proclaim. Let us affirm our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into heaven. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I'm not quite sure what your language, share shalom, means, so here's my try. And I don't mind hearing whether I did it right or wrong. I'd just like to know which way is the right way. Let's make a shot at it. As Christ has offered love and peace with us, help us to live in peace with others. Let us share shalom.
So you don't know.
Trevor, they decided they wanted to be that.
Oh. started last year.
Good morning. I'm going to read Jeremiah 29, verse 1 and verse 4 through 7. This is Jeremiah's instructions to the people who were captured and taken to Babylon to spend the next approximately 70 years. And this is actually a message from Jeremiah to these people that are going to go in captivity on exactly how to survive and to grow strong while you're being held as captives in a foreign land. A This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses, settle down, plant gardens, eat what they produce, marry and have sons and daughters, find wives for your sons, and give your daughters in marriage, so that they may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it because of the prophets. You too will profit. I apologize, I can't already see it. But this is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Church and a group about hunger. Go ahead, Cameron.
church, the Boy Scouts and the Cub Scouts will do what, Cameron? Food drives, scouting for food. The church also collects food. This month is collecting canned pasta. Okay. You can also give money to the church, which gives money to ordinary performers in poor countries so they can buy seeds and tools for planting. Okay? All right, we pray with Victor. Dear Lord, in this time of plenty,
dear Lord, in this time of plenty,
we ask that your blessings on the people that are less fortunate than us.
We ask that your blessings on the people that are less fortunate than us.
Please guide us and help us to open our hearts.
Please guide us and help us to open our hearts
to those that need our help.
To those that need our help.
In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
You can go back and sit with your ball.
Who had more fun, them playing there on the ground or we watching? Okay. From the New Testament, we have a reading from 2 Timothy, chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. This is going to be different than what's in your pew Bible because I can get the RSV off the internet and print up a large copy for use up here. So it's different, but maybe not. Maybe it says the same thing a little bit differently. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel. And that was Paul speaking to Timothy. That is my gospel for which I suffered hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And then the next verses, when I read them about 2 weeks ago, they sort of catch me with a concern. I wish some of our folk in government would pay attention to these words, but certainly hope you will. Remind them, this is Paul telling Timothy, remind the people that he's going to be ministering to. Remind them and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth.
This is the word of God. I have a problem, a health problem, called Parkinson's. And the way it's affecting me is my voice. And I said, do I have to give up choir? Do I have to give up preaching? And the therapist said, oh, on the contrary, it's the best thing you can do for stalling the progress of this disease to preach and to sing. But it takes a double focus, keeping it in front of me always, that I've got to speak out. Like you folk in the balcony are over there in Mount Holly and you need to hear me. So if I slip up a bit, wave your hands or something. And the people in the balcony, if they see the hands waving, adjust the volume, please. Because it's going to help me. And I'm not going to consider it an intervention or some sign of, well, I wish this were over and I want to go home. Okay. Our Old Testament reading is about Jeremiah. He's a prophet who lived through the Babylonian capture of Jerusalem. The message of submission to the Babylonians, okay, let me start again. The mission of the, hang on. The message of submission to the Babylonians that God gave him, that's Nehemiah, was unpopular. But Jeremiah was faithful to God and spoke out to silence Jeremiah. His fellow countrymates had him arrested. This was a time of transition. Babylon was a rising power, and Jerusalem was about to be overrun by the Babylonians. And the people who were in power in Jerusalem could not stop them. After Jerusalem fell, the Babylonians deported the movers and shakers to a town across the Euphrates River from Babylon, where their captors could keep a close eye on them. Those who remained in Jerusalem were those who did not have the skill sets to be leaders, strong leaders in government and business, religion, etc., and were less likely to give the Babylonians trouble. Well, at that time, most prophets had been held in high regard, belonging to the right class of people. After the fall of Jerusalem, where these people were moved to Babylon, those left behind did not get that respect. They were not of the right class. In the face of the Babylonian threat, some prophets supported active resistance. Others urged submission. These latter were seen as traitors by the people in power. And that's why when the Babylonians took over Jerusalem, they found Jeremiah under arrest. When they gathered together the people to take into exile, they simply let Jeremiah go. He'd been preaching submission to the Babylonians. He was the enemy of the people of Jerusalem. Otherwise, they wouldn't lock him up for being a traitor. So they probably said something like this: the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and let him go. He stayed in Jerusalem, and he kept working on that theme.
working on the theme of Babylon is God's action. It's not the Babylonians who decided they were supposed to take over Jerusalem. They may have thought so, but it was all part of God's plan. Jeremiah kept reminding them that their people had been sinning against God time and time and time and time again. And this is what they deserved. Jeremiah deserved, they said, to be locked up, chained, however they kept him prisoner. It was catching. Some of the people in Jerusalem found ways of messing things up. Like, understand, in World War II, in the Battle of the Bulge, the Germans got in there first and they changed the signposts around. They knew where they were going, but the Allies did not. But Jeremiah kept preaching this, and Babylon went back to Jerusalem and took more people into exile. But they apparently couldn't find Jeremiah. He's not mentioned in the Bible what he did, where he went. He may have decided to get out of town before the cavalry arrives, or he may have been taken prisoner physically by friends, and they took him into hiding and safety. We don't know. We're speculating. But Jeremiah was out of the picture. But before he got out of the picture, he had a message to send. Did it in a letter. And the letter said, and I've got to find where it's written down here so I get it right. I got to go back one more page. Here's the letter. Build houses. Live in them. Plant gardens. Eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there, do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare, you will find your welfare. Your enemy. In your enemy's welfare, you find your own welfare. Strange, but it happens more often than we can imagine. Now, some things we have to sort of read between the lines. Well, we find out that who got blessed? How did they get blessed? Just think of this. Your great-grandparents, were sent in exile to some island in the middle of nowhere. And they're told this kind of message. Think about it. They, your grandparents, apparently they weren't married yet, but they were told to get married. Have sons and daughters. Give your daughters in marriage. Let your sons get married and have children. Now, we're talking about a three-generation spread here. And three generations is not tomorrow. The promise may not have been looked at very carefully because it's so far in the future that we're not going to be here to see it. I'm not going to be here to see what happens when we get, when I get to 100. I'll be a pile of dust by then. So it didn't look too much like a promise, but there's the promise in this for the captives in Babylon and for Christians today to be concerned with the welfare of your enemy, your neighbor. Where did all the children go? And the food that goes to help people who might not otherwise survive. Take care of people. Watch out for each other. One soldier in battle will say to the other, I got your back. I got your back. This is a promise. This is a promise. Do you remember, I know some of you can remember back to when John F. Kennedy ran for president. Yeah. Remember one of the things he said about a rising tide? A rising tide floats or lifts or raises all boats, big or small. And the point was, if we've got a rising economy, everybody gets helped. It gets better for those who have a skill at bringing in income. Maybe it gets to them first or more of it. But it also helps the people who have to do the ordinary things, the necessary things, like collect the garbage. A rising tide lifts all boats. The people you serve and help, somehow, some way, it's going to turn around and be a blessing for you also. In the lection reading we didn't look at, Jesus is walking, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he is focused. He's got to get to Jerusalem before Passover, because he is going to a cross. That's where his focus is. And as he nears this Samaritan city, 10 lepers come out. Now, you know, we all know that in that time, if you had leprosy, it was because you were a terrible sinner. It was contagious. You were thrown out of the village. You spent your time at the gate, outside the gate of the city, collecting alms, collecting gifts. Like we see people on the street corners here in Charlotte collecting money, usually. These lepers asked Jesus to help, to heal. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. Only the priests could give the official diagnosis that they were healed. And while on the way, one of them noticed that his leprosy was gone. And he came back. What did he do? Remember? Only one of 10 did this. Remember? They thanked Jesus. He thanked Jesus. But in thanking Jesus, he set an example for the rest of us. Help others as I was helped. Help the undeserving as well as the deserving. And remember to thank Jesus for the ways in which you have been blessed. Remember to thank, if you can, the person who helped you. The world is full of that. 59 years ago, my wife and I were on our honeymoon. And I had the car, and I had the driver's license, and I got the task of taking the best man and the sister of the groom and the mother of the groom from New Jersey to, Durham, I think it was. This is where her roots were. And we got, Nick approached a rest stop, still in New Jersey. And one of the women said, gentlemen, you probably know what she said. I need the restroom. And we stopped. And it was like 1:30 in the morning. And I said, well, nobody's around. I'll just park here by the doorway. And then a police car pulled in. So the best man said, well, we got to move. I try to start the car. Nothing happens. So the best man says, I'll get out and push. And you work the car and we'll jump start it. And it worked. And we found out that on the New Jersey Turnpike, in those days, the rest stops were not gas stations. The rest stops were not repair places. We didn't know what to do. But finding out that no matter where the tow truck picked us up along that road, it cost the same. So I thought, well, let's start down the road and look for a place to get off and maybe find repairs. And we pulled off and into this gas station. Somebody comes running out and says, don't stop your engine. Found out what was going on. Opened the door, told us to come in. Generator brushes were worn. Said, I think I know where I can, I know I can fix it. I just think I know where I can find the parts. I'll be back in about half an hour. He brought the parts, the brushes, put them in the generator, put the generator into the car, made sure everything was working, and he says, okay, you can get on your way. And I asked him, how much do I owe you? And he said, $4.35. I says, you got to be kidding me. It costs more than that to keep this station open all night. That must have been what you paid for the brushes. And he says, you're right. On your way, and God bless you. This guy had, he couldn't sleep. He couldn't sleep that night. After much tossing and turning, he decided to get dressed and go talk with his friend who pumped gas all night. He didn't even work there. That was a nice example of somebody helping another person, not necessarily seeking any kind of reward. But I'm sure we'll be blessed when it comes to the judgment. Well, that's the story. But, you know, it's a message of hope and promise from God to those who are overburdened and discouraged. Seek the welfare of others, and you will find your welfare. This is another case of when God gives a difficulty to his people, it is just as likely that he has planned a blessing that will more than compensate for the difficulty. May God bless. May the Spirit inspire. May we follow. Amen. Let us speak with our God through prayer. Our most gracious God, you walked with Adam in the cool of the evening in that garden. You were with Jeremiah when he was faithful, doing what you wanted him to do. You walked, carrying a cross. You walked with Jesus up that hill. You were there, along the shore, fixing breakfast for your disciples. You were there at Pentecost. And you are there, you are here, you are everywhere, seeking to help people be the best that they can be. And we give you thanks for that. We thank you for trials and tribulations that are really blessings from you, blessings in disguise, disguised as trouble that have come to people. You are there in the middle of night, when a mother gives birth to a child that died in utero. You are there with the people who keep watching other people's backs. And we thank you for that. We ask your blessing upon this community that we call home. Too many things, too much violence, too much killing. And we don't seem to know how to stop it. We pray that sensibility will come to people. And they won't have to worry about what lies around the next corner. We thank you, Lord, for the years of our lives. The days when we were too young to remember. Or maybe it was just a case we were old enough to forget. Help us to remember your love. Keep us from forgetting. And may we all be a blessing to somebody. And you don't need to give us a blessing, but in this passage, you promised a blessing. Maybe it'll come in this life, maybe the next, but it is a promise. We don't have to wait 150 years for it. It is a promise that you will walk with us and bless our every footstep. We pray this in Jesus' name. And we pray the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us worship our God through giving. O God, we present these gifts that they may be used by you in hope where there is fear, insight where there is blindness, love where there is hate, justice where there is oppression, and faith where there is unbelief. Amen. Let us go forth. Let us carry the light of Christ high. And let the world see God through the touch, the ministry of our hands. Amen.
Some God.